Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. The Celtics indeed take Game 5 after winning Game 4. Back from the dead, down 0-3. It's not just that they were down 0-3, by the way, Key. Let's go back in your mind's eye. Remember, they lost two at home to start the series. Then they go down to Miami and get smacked. Like, they got blown out. So it's not just that they lost, but they'd already dropped two at home and then got destroyed. Right, here it comes. But they're clawing their way back. They're in the series. It's a series now. 3-2 is a series.
Yeah, maybe Miami was just thinking about the summertime. Maybe Miami thinking about vacation, you know, and what they're going to do post-Memorial Day and how they're going to exit early and where they're going to go swimming, because that's what it looked like last night. It looked like they was often thinking about already vacation time.
You brought it up. Game 4, really, Miami started turning the ball over a bit in the third quarter, and they picked up where they left off. They did not correct that. You know, I keep talking about Gabe Vincent not being there because it makes it much more difficult for Jimmy Butler. No Tyler Hero, no Oladipo, and then Gabe Vincent was filling the void. Now you take him away at a certain point, you just don't have enough.
No, you don't, but at the same time, you if you're Boston and you look at game 1 and 2, it's almost like they expected to win no matter what. They rolled out their players. We got better players. We got this. We got that. And then they shocked them.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, that shock had to get out of the system at some point in time. And then when they realized game 3, 4, blank. We got to now save ourselves. So they saved themselves in game 4 to get 1. They knew they were going back home for 5. There was no doubt in my mind that they would go out there and take care of business in game 5. However they did it, whether or not the turnovers was a contribution to the Celtics winning, or whether or not it was Jimmy Butler not scoring enough points as a contribution to them winning, whatever it was, they had to get it done. And the way that I look at it, the Celtics woke up in game 4. And now they are in game 6 going back to Miami. All balls are in their court now. It's all on them. It's one game. It's not 3. It's 1. You can look at it as a best of 3. If you choose to do so, with the Miami Heat being up 1, okay, even though the Celtics won last night, it's now turned
really
to a
interesting
best of 3.
Way to look at it. Yeah,
yeah, you have to psychologically play with your mind and play with your players' mind as a coaching staff. You got to tell them it's a 3-game series. We down 0-1. If we lose, we go home. Or you can look at it and tell them all we need is to keep winning one game at a time. We need one more. We've shown that we can win in Miami already in game 4. Let's show them we can win in Miami in game 6. However you want to approach your team in explaining the significance of winning a game, however you feel like you need to do it, I would look at it as a game 3. I would look at it as a 3-game series. We're down 1. If we lose, we go home. If we win, we even and we go back to home and the winner take all.
Yeah, really, if they got to win on the road and they get, unlike every other team that's ever been down 0-3, you know, they're going to have home court. Or rather, I should say, that's forced a game 7. They would have home court if they do force a game 7. So there have only been 3 teams, Key, in the history of the NBA who forced a game 7 after trailing 0-3. 2003 was the latest. Trailblazers. The opponent was the Mavericks. In 94, conference finals, that was the first round, Blazers-Mavericks. Conference finals, 94, Nuggets at Jazz. 1951, the Knicks at Royals, Rochester Royals. I said Cincinnati Royals. That was after this. Like, forget about 1951. The NBA was, the rules were, there's no 3-point shot. This is, This is pre-ABA. Forget about pre-absorption of the ABA, yeah, right?
I don't even know what that looked like in 1951.
Yeah, never mind that. But so it's really twice in modern basketball history, 94 and 03. But both times, the team down 03 who forced the Game 7 had to play on the road, meaning they're always the lower seed, which is probably why they fell down in the series. They weren't as good. They had the whole season to show who was better, and the other team was better. This is unique. Here, if a Game 7 is forced, if the Celtics can do that. Celtics were the 2 seed. They were only the 2 seed because they played weird in the second half of the season. First half of the season, they were the best team in basketball. They're a 2 seed. So they have home court. Not only does the regular season suggest they are intrinsically a better team than the Heat, but if they force a Game 7 for the first time ever, that team will not be on the road. Here we see the odds for Game 6. Spread is 3 points, and the Celtics are favored by 3. The money line has the Celtics minus 145, the Heat plus 122. So, you know, not even a 1.5-to-1 favorite, like a 7-to-5 type favorite. Close odds, but still the favorite. And to win the series, the Heat are only slightly favored, and obviously they're favored because they're up a game. Joe Mazzulla, Celtics head coach, who was roundly criticized earlier in this series, spoke about the team being more connected in the last 2 games. Listen to this, Key.
One of our assistants put it in great perspective. The season's like 9 months long, and we just had a bad week. Sometimes you have a bad week at work, and you know, we obviously didn't pick the best time to have a bad week, but we did, and we're sticking together and fighting like hell to keep it alive, and the guys are really coming together.
Is the cause to come back from this brought the guys together? I know it's a pretty obvious answer, but how has it and has it?
I mean, I think it's just your back's against the wall. You don't have a choice. And so it builds a connection and builds, you know, just an opportunity. And so, like I've said it all year, the guys in that locker room, they always stick together. And, you know, when our backs are against the wall, we just have to continue that.
Now, I don't know if that's Tiger Woods talking or him, Joe. I'm not – that didn't inspire me right there. He sounds so much like Tiger Woods, though. I was like, wait a minute, is that Tiger talking? He's right. Look, they got to stick together in these situations, and I think that they have done that. That's why they've gotten 2 of the last games. They won consecutive back-to-backs, 1 in Miami, 1 at home, because they realize the situation at hand. We've been talking about this Celtic team for the most part for the last 4 to 5 years about what they are, what they can be. Last year they got to the finals, and it didn't work out for them because Tatum, quite frankly, didn't play nearly as well as he's played this postseason in some of these games down the stretch in crucial moments. So they have the makeup of a championship team. They just got to go out there and do it. They were sleepwalking in the beginning, and I think that they have actually woke up.
Well, you mentioned Jason Tatum. He talked about the pressure being on the Heat right now. Listen to this.
Pressure on them, right? We down 3-0. Nobody thought we should, you know, we was going to win. So we're playing free, playing confident. You know, we're ready to go down Miami.
I love when the athlete says nobody thought that we were going to win. Well, that's not true.
By the way, that was Roz Gold Anwude who asked the question that elicited that response.
Yeah, there's plenty of people that thought that they were going to win. The callers calling on our show, some of us on our show saying, hey, they're going to win this game. They're going to come back. But the pressure is on Miami because when you look up and all of a sudden it's 3-2, oh, my God, and we're playing bad and they're playing good, it gets a little tighter, Max.
Mm-hmm.
And coaches, no matter how great Spoelstra is, he's thinking, if I don't do this adjustment or do that adjustment or they don't respond to us, all of a sudden it's 3-3 and we're going back to Boston.
Well,
if it's tied up 3-3, mm-hmm, it's a wrap. Miami can start to get ready for Cancun.
I'll remind everybody that the Celtics were prohibitive favorites last night at home. 8-point favorites. 8 points. And they covered.
What did Vegas, how does Vegas know this?
Right. Because it reflects the wisdom of crowds. There's a book called The Wisdom of Crowds. I gotta clear my throat on. There's a book called The Wisdom of Crowds Key, and the idea is that this is James Surowiecki, an economist, who was responding to a book famously called The Madness of Crowds, I think it was called The Madness of Crowds. And the point about the wisdom of crowds is that a group of people who share knowledge and also have their own private knowledge will always make better decisions than the smartest member of the group. You would say, don't the dumb people weigh the smart people down? No, in fact, the different perspectives make the group perform better. And all, that's all the odds are. The odds are the wisdom of crowds because the odds makers set a line, and then the betting public bets the line, and the line will move according to those bets. So by the time you get the final line, that reflects the wisdom of the crowd, which has been shown to outperform the smartest members. That's why the line is so accurate usually. That's how they get it right. That's the mystery of it. But the point is they beat the spread. Spread was 8.5 points. They beat it. Key in this upcoming game, it's a 3-point spread. So, like, that's a possession. Even if the analytics are right and the Celtics should be favored on the road, man, the Heat can make up a possession at the end of the game, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. This should be tight. This one should be tight. I get the feeling it's going to be a 1 or 2 possession game by the end. You get the same feeling, or do you have a stronger feeling one way or another?
I have a stronger feeling. I feel like the Celtics are going to wreck shop in game 6.
Mm.
That's what I feel. I feel like, yeah, I feel like they're going to wreck shop in game 6.
I'd like to know if Gabe Vincent is playing. I think that was a big deal last night. I think that's one of the reasons for the turnovers and the sloppiness is you have one player who can get his own shot and create for others, really. Apologies
see,
to Kyle Lowry.
They feel good now, though. They feel good. And it's one game, Max. That's all it is. We've won the last time we was down there. We know how to win.
But Jimmy Butler coming off a 14-point performance, letting the other team back into the series, knowing he needs
but
to
I got
do
a
more
Jimmy Butler.
At home.
But I got a Jimmy Butler.
That's the thing.
I got a Jimmy Butler, and I got another Jimmy Butler.
And the way Tatum has responded when their backs have been to the wall, against the wall these playoffs has been remarkable.
Yeah. Yes.
It has been. There's no two ways about it. So is Game 6, therefore, a must-win for the Heat? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Is Game 6 must win for Miami? Would they be able to win a Game 7 on the road in Boston? How much trouble are the Heat in? You know why
a lot
the
of trouble, Max.
You know why the 8s had to play this, right? If he doesn't play something with the word California or L.A. explicitly in it, Key will start to complain by 8:30.
Got to hit the quota,
God.
Dog.
Don't. See, now you got these people out here in the universe thinking that all I care about, well, it's probably true. But,
yeah, right, thinking the truth. Yeah,
yeah. All I care about, I don't give no love to no other states or cities. That's not true. It's not true. It's just something about our stuff is just better, no matter what. It's just better.
I enjoyed
it's just
my
the reality
time in L.A.
of it. Even though the taxes, state taxes and all that sort of stuff is high and ridiculous and outrageous and makes no sense, and it's basically highway robbery. Yeah, it's, you know, it is what it is.
Key, why do you think there's an expression about I'll be carefully let's clean this expression up, but
no, you clean
how
it up.
New York how New York people make money out of state. Why do you think that is?
How do New York people make money? I don't
like that's widely known. Like getting money like someone from New York out of state. Why are New Yorkers able to set up shop all over the country and get it in like that?
Are they? I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of known. It's kind of known, Nash. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Something in the water?
I didn't know it was a known thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a known thing.
Like,
for example, I landed in L.A. within 24 hours, the king of the whole town.
Yeah, I don't know. See, now you're lying to the public.
Not lying.
Now you acting like a politician. You just lying to the public.
Don't make me call on the army of Max Kellerman fans in L.A. to call in and tell you all about it.
You know, it's crazy because in my time on this earth, as they say, planet, earth, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I never thought, this is trippy because I was thinking about this all, I've been thinking about this all morning long because I was thinking about what I'm doing over the holiday weekend starting today.
Sure.
And in my lifetime, Max, I never thought I would ever see, look at this dude, Pat, man. I never thought that I would ever see a black president.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either, by the way.
Check that box, right?
Yep.
Never thought that I would see a woman who happens to be black as a high-ranking official or whatever government official.
As a future
official,
president. Yeah, go ahead.
As a vice president. Then I never, ever, ever in my wildest dreams thought that I would see a black mermaid that I have to go see tonight with my kids at the movie theater.
Same movie theater is playing what, Key?
But wait, Max. And so then as we were having the conversation about it, you and Yates said, hey, man, by the way, you know there's a black Spider-Man. I thought y'all was playing games.
No.
I said, man, will y'all stop?
Real
rap. It's a black Spider-Man. I said, no, it's not a black Spider-Man. It's Peter Parker. Then Yates told me the name. What was it, the name? Yates,
Miles Morales. You know, two birds, one stone on that, Joe.
Miles
Peter
Morales.
Peter Parker, man, that's Dave Parker's cousin.
I was like, there's no way you get the black mermaid and a black Spider-Man. People going crazy right now.
You know what I love? The objections.
They pulling their hair out left and right.
What I love is the objections to the black mermaid. People are like, wait a minute. When I'm in the movie theater, damn it, I need to be able to suspend disbelief. When I'm watching a mermaid, come on, if she's black, it takes me right out of it. There were no black. Wait a moment. Not that she's a mermaid, but that she's black.
How can my mermaid have dreads? Wait a minute, yo.
You know, people was really saying this stuff?
Yeah, like, you know.
How could she have dreads? How about the fact that there's no such thing
as mermaids?
As a mermaid. How about that?
Whoa. Let's not rule anything out, all right?
No, stop. We can't.
Yeah, you don't know that for
sure. Oh,
for,
God,
have
stop.
Have you ever seen one?
They're in L.A.
Pat, will you stop?
Yeah, I'm just saying. We can't rule it out.
Yeah, in the Pacific Ocean.
Have you ever seen an alien?
I look at you every day.
I'm going to need you to pull over. I'm going to need to see your license and registration.
Pat likes wearing that hat and glasses,
Max,
in the
Max,
studio.
This joint, the hat looked like he going to pop out of a cake and have like breakaway pants on or something.
He's just like Keith Sutherland. Keith Sutherland was in character every single day, even when he wasn't on 24. You see him, he's got a backpack.
Is that right?
Absolutely 100%. He's in character every day.
I never watched 24. Was it good?
Oh, it's the best stuff. Like for me, you know, I like all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've never missed an episode. Never. Seen it all.
I'm trying to get
President
into some shows.
President Palmer, you name it.
I'm trying to get into some shows. I'm having a hard time getting into them. I'm all done with Wu-Tang. I'm waiting for the new season. Done with BMF, waiting for the new season. I tried to get into The Godfather of Harlem. Couldn't really do it.
Hold on, wait. They don't like the Jamaican crab. And Yates said the Jamaican crab and mermaid, they don't like that either.
Key, in the trailer, one of the crab has a Jamaican accent, right?
But they did in the original Little Mermaid.
Yeah, but now people are like, he's not a real Jamaican. He don't sound Jamaican enough. I'm like, wait a second.
You can't please everyone, you know?
I ain't never met a crab that talk. Only thing I've ever heard it talk is a parrot.
And I've never, only thing a crab can do is pinch you. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all. I don't know anything. So people really, you guys have all this social media stuff, so you follow it, but people really put that much energy into the characters and
it's no, like well, there's a sense who Darth Vader was. Man.
There's a sense that there's this kind of, any kind of attempt. I mean, I believe that PC kind of restrictions on speech that is not considered PC has gone too far. I don't like the chilling effect it's had on public discourse. However, there are people who just think any kind of attempt to include groups who have been on the outside is quote unquote woke and therefore bad, right? So they have kind of an allergic reaction to, I think, goodwill attempts to try to have role models in popular culture that groups that have traditionally been excluded from identifying with those characters can now identify with. I think it's a good thing.
You know what's so crazy is now that you say this, so I went this past weekend, so there's a Barbie exhibit, Barbie the doll exhibit in Los Angeles in Santa Monica in the mall. So you go and you spend your money and you walk around and you see all the Barbies from like years and years and years of them, Yates. And there's so many Barbies that are the different cultures that you wouldn't even think of.
Yeah.
Throughout the years that they created, there was black Barbies, Asian Barbies, Hispanic Barbies, just all of them for years and years. And, you know, the people dressed up and walking around with the Barbie outfits on and taking pictures and doing. So I took, you know, my family and all of us, we went to check it out because of my daughter. It's just amazing to see that I'm just now learning all of this because the entire time, even though these were created, all I knew was basically Ken and Barbie. I think there was like a black one that was created, and that was pretty much her friend, and that was it. But for the most part, through years, though, they had all these Barbies, and you learned about it at this Barbie exhibit. And so when Max brings this up right now, to have different groups excluded from stuff, it's just crazy. It's crazy and fascinating at the same time that people put that much thought into these things.
Well, I mean, I think many people feel that when politically correct culture kind of runs amok, it regulates speech in a way where people aren't putting that much thought into kind of words they're using about different groups. I don't mean like derogatory words. I mean words that have shifted to become derogatory and people aren't even aware of it. And then they get in trouble for just talking and they're like, come on, man, this is too much. And I understand that. I relate to that. But all you got to do is use a little empathy, right? Just use a little empathy and just imagine that some little girl wants to see, you know, some fairy tale Disney movie, whatever it is, and they never, ever get to see someone who looks like them. So they feel excluded from that. They can never be the protagonist, right, in the story of the world. So it's nice that sometimes they can. That's all.
But the crazy
it's not
thing
that
about
complicated.
It for,
use a little empathy.
But the crazy thing about it for me, whether the mermaid was black, white, purple, or green, we was going to see the movie.
Yeah.
Because we're not really tripping like that.
Right,
we're
right.
going to see the story, the movie, the characters,
yes.
the animation. But then this black Spider-Man has me.
My man got Jordans on everything, Key.
Oh,
he here for us, dog.
And you said they start off the movie with him having bad grades.
I don't know if it's bad grades, but I just remember starting off. And one of the first things I saw was, It's like a zoom out shot on him wearing his Jordans. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm here for this.
Yeah,
Mr. Morales, I'm here for this.
Got some swag.
You bring up
but his dad's like Pat though.
Yeah,
his dad's my favorite character.
Max, you ain't peep. I said the word quota earlier. Pat goes, wait, did someone say quota?
Quota? I'm in.
Key, you mentioned earlier you never thought you'd live to see a black president. My eldest was born on November 5th, 2008. Just as, you know, her mother went into labor right as McCain conceded and Obama, it was clear he was the winner. And I realized that none of my children will ever be born into a world where there hasn't always been, it hasn't always been the case that we've had a black president, right? None of them. They've all, like, that's incredible to me. I didn't think I'd live to see it. But my children, all of them, were born into that world. For as much as things are bad at times and you think things are going backwards and everything, it's come a long way.
Yeah, now they can see a black mermaid. Let's go.
Now a black mermaid. What's next?
We're building.
All right. Heat fans, are you worried? Not about black mermaids. There's nothing to fear there. But about a collapse. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
You can't not bop your head when this song comes on. It's impossible.
Man, we was coming back from the Oakland Relays one year, Max, driving from Northern California, playing this. And as the song kept going, the speed was speed. We was just bouncing in and out, the speed.
In the flow with the song. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. All of a sudden, Pat Costello comes out of nowhere. Chubb Rock got us a ticket.
Oh, really?
Because we was, you know.
Costello got you.
There's certain songs that you play in a car.
Yeah,
when the highway is open, you just mash. You just
all you got to do is say, "Officer, I apologize." If you just like to listen to this,
music that make you drive faster.
Do you know how fast you're going, officer? If you don't mind, could I just want to play something for you? Just play him this song and be like, "Yeah, I get it."
Think about it, Max.
I get it.
You play certain songs,
yeah,
you drive slow because you thinking. You know the jazz music, you relaxing. You play this upbeat stuff, man. You flying and don't even realize it.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, weaving in and out, right? So. You know, do people not understand, by the way, the rules of the road? I think people don't know if the left lane is the passing lane. I think they really, some people just don't know that. If you're in the left-hand lane, you shouldn't be blocking traffic.
If you're in the left-hand lane.
Yeah, the leftmost lane is the passing lane. That's got to be free so people can use it to pass cars. See, Key didn't even know. Yeah, those are the rules.
Well, I don't know those rules.
Yeah, that's the problem. Not enough people do. So sometimes people are just chilling in the left-hand lane. Nah, man. You can't just be doing the speed limit in the left-hand lane.
When I get in the left lane, I move.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
But I just figured it was the fast lane.
It is. It's the fast lane, exactly.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was the passing lane.
Well, yeah, technically it's the passing lane. It's how you're supposed to pass.
Because everything, Max.
Because the blind spot on the right is worse.
You know everything, Max.
Yes, that's right. I'm Cliff Clavin.
You know it all, man.
All right. How much trouble are the Heat in? Stacy in Florida, how are you feeling, Stacy?
Hello. First of all, thank you, Max, for mentioning that. I hate that when people are driving in that left lane. Mm-hmm. Pass the vehicles and get over to the middle lane or the right lane, whatever. Yes, I am totally worried. I am so worried. They have to win game 6. I listed the keys to victory, and they did none of them. They went out and played the same way they did the game before. even worse. They turned the ball over even more than they did. Kyle Lowry, I don't think he's the answer. If Gabe Vincent can't play, I actually like what I saw in Highsmith. I think he's a better fit, or they move Martin to the starting lineup. And Bam, oh my goodness, he has got to get his game going. He has to get 20 points. That's the only way we win, is when he scores good. And Jimmy Butler, I believe we're going to see Jimmy of old in game six.
So, in other words, if they don't win game six, you're conceding it's over.
No, it's not. I'm just saying I don't have high confidence.
Yeah, so we, already. Bro. Go ahead, Key.
No, I didn't say anything. Oh. That was Stacy.
Already, Stacy's acknowledging not high confidence, and you could easily wind up in a situation. Boston Celtics are favored to force a game seven. Now they're at home, if they do, as the much higher seed who's been better most of the season. And I just need to know what's up with Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent's not right. I don't like the Heat's chances all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think we're going to see history here, though. Hmm. I really honestly do. I feel that way. I feel like getting game five, going back home, they'll get game six, and then they'll get game seven. It'll be a historical moment for the Celtics. Yeah, it's just, I feel like, because when you are bad all season and not very good, you lose in the play-in game, you get hot, though, right? Now all of a sudden you just get hot. At some point, the truth is going to come back to you. It's just like the Celtics. Celtics are a good basketball team. They're not going to stay poor. They're going to figure it out. And they figured it out for the last two games. Now, I don't see why they wouldn't figure it out for the next game in game six. You know, the Heat are who the Heat – the Heat are who the Heat is. Yeah, there you go. The Heat are who the Heat is. That's just what it is. They are the team that looked like they were on to something, and everybody was hyped about the Jimmy Butler situation and whatnot. But I think they've come back down to earth. I really do.
Key, there's a guy, Charles, from Memphis, who has a key recruiting story, is what it says on my screen.
Oh,
I want to see what this is about.
Now?
What's up, Charles?
Yeah, me too.
Keyshawn, what's going on?
What's happening, boss?
Keyshawn and I went on a recruiting trip to Cal Berkeley. Do you remember this, Keyshawn?
We went on a recruit trip, but Charles, what? Charles' name? Tell me something.
Barnes from Verb. I went to Verb.
Oh, yeah. The outside linebacker. Defensive end.
Yes.
Basketball player.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up? What you doing in Memphis?
I live in Memphis, man. I'm transferred to Jackson State, and I've been down south ever since.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, I remember we went on our visit together in 1991. Yeah, 1991. Yeah, I remember.
Back then we didn't, you know, of course we didn't have cell phones, and, you know, me and Keyshawn met each other for the first time, and Keyshawn called me every day, and I don't know if you remember this, you called me every day, hey, Charles, you know where you're going, man? I was like, I don't know. You know where you're going? I don't know. Then I would ask you, hey, Key, and this goes, we all know Keyshawn is a confident man. He was a confident young man then, too. Keyshawn said, you know what, Charles? Since I'm the best, I think I'm going to go to the best school. I'm probably going to go to Miami.
Yeah,
and
I remember
that.
Yeah,
that's when
Miami was recruiting. Miami was recruiting all of us. They were coming into Southern California and getting, you know, they were recruiting guys with Coach Dennis Erickson.
Right. This is the Warren Sapp years?
Warren had it was Warren Sapp years. Yeah, it was Sapp years. He was like a sophomore, junior, possibly then, something like that.
Yeah, man, but, you know.
This was the Lamar Thomas.
Later, 100 catches at SC.
Oh, yeah.
A Hall of Fame career, man. You know,
I appreciate it.
And around, we're proud of you, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you. That's wild. Of course I remember. We had on Andre Miller yesterday. We had Andre Miller on yesterday from Verb.
I missed that. Sure.
Yeah, Dre Miller. Yeah. So, Verbin Day High School, Max and gang, is right in the heart of the projects. It's a school in the projects in the Nickerson Gardens. It's like literally right in the Nickerson Gardens. And you can only imagine the type of athletes and student athletes that came out of Vervin Day. Think about it. Barnes went to Cal from what people would deem one of the worst areas in all of Los Angeles. He went to Cal Berkeley. You know how hard it is to get into Cal? Cal is like, it's like Columbia.
Yeah.
It's a high standard academic school.
Yeah, yeah. Berkeley, yeah, of course.
So, yeah.
One reason it doesn't get even more shine that way is because Stanford's right there. But, yeah, Berkeley's great.
That's interesting. It's so funny.
By the way, in New York, you know when you have a school in the middle of the projects like West Side High in New York? It doesn't produce athletes. It produces rappers. Like Big L came from West Side High, right? Like, but that's where the rappers are coming from in New York.
This dude, Charles, though?
Yeah.
You talk about big, man. That dude had to be – at that time, you know, you're a high school guy, really big.
Yeah.
So I would probably say he was probably 6'6", 6'5", 6'6", you know, but big.
Yeah, for you to say someone's big because you were probably at least 6'3 by then, right?
The dude was big, though.
Yeah. How much trouble are the Heat in? How does it feel, by the way, to officially be an NFL quarterback? You know who we have coming up? Coming up, we have the guy that I think – I would have taken before anybody. Key put me up on him. Hendon Hooker up next, KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max podcast.
See, and we're joined one of them songs,
now.
Max.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
What?
Come
get
on,
a
man.
Ticket. Max?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
However do you want it? However do you need it?
Come on, this whole.
I don't think our next guest could appreciate this, though.
No, he might be too young. Although, I don't know. Maybe this one may not be too young. Most quarterbacks in this position. I'm
so
joking.
Too young.
Hendon Hooker, I'm not making fun of your age, although I have. You are the quarterback I would have taken first in this draft. How does it feel to officially be an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, only after I told you about him.
You told me, watch this dude, Hendon Hooker, so I watched. Go ahead, Hendon.
It feels great. It feels great, to be here and to be in my lifelong dream and to be somewhere so special as Detroit. Just that building is amazing, you know, being able to go in there and work every day with Jared Goff, a true pros, and how he prepares, just learning from him and Coach Brew, and also have JT Barry in the room who's helping us out. And I pick his brains a lot as well. And I'm sitting in the back of practice, you know, just running through the script, acting like I'm in a huddle and calling out the mic and checks and where I would go with the ball. It's been amazing.
You know, I ran into you, what was about 10, 15 days ago, whatever it was, and we chopped it up for a little bit. And I was kind of checking you out, walking around and whatnot. How is your knee? How's your health?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Being able to move around a lot more and be a lot more productive on the field. It's really killing me that I can't put in the work that I really want to. I see guys getting work in after practice, and I can throw a couple balls, but you know, they had me on a restricted schedule, just as far as moving around so much and doing a lot on my knee. But I'm working every day to get better.
When do you anticipate? You don't have to give me a exact time frame, but when do you anticipate being able to get in there and 11-on-11s and fully participate?
Yeah, not sure, but I know closer to the season would be ideal for sure. We're coming around on that six month mark next month, and you know, just taking it day by day. I know for sure that I want to be myself or better, you know, when I return, so that I can maneuver and make plays like I want to.
Hendon Hooker here on KJM. Hendon, when I'm thinking about this draft, it seems to me that, like, I look at you, you're the only guy who checked every single box. 6'3", 220, can throw the deep ball, can run, can diagnose the defense, can lead. Like, all these things. And it seems to me you slipped in the draft for two reasons. One, your age, which, whatever, Joe Burrow was old when, you know, by those standards when he got into the league. And two, an injury from which many, many people normally come back from at 100%. So it didn't add up to me why you slipped that far, but what's your feeling about it?
Yeah, I think it's just availability. I think that's the, you know, the biggest thing. You know, I'm not available to participate in the drills and in practice right now. And I know that teams and everyone, you know, just wants people that are available and healthy and ready to go. So, I understand that aspect. But, you know, I'm just controlling what I can control. And that's continuing to work my tail off day in and day out and get better. Because you'll never stay the same. You're getting worse or you're getting better. And I never want to backtrack. So, you know, continuing to try to be the first one in every day and the last one to leave is what I do on a daily.
I mean, the answers are perfect. Do you hear that, Key? Now, I want to follow up what you said about Detroit earlier. Detroit, the Lions are probably the most snake-bit franchise in American team sports right now. Two playoff wins, what, in 60 years, is it now? 60-something years? And you mentioned Goff, and he's very good, and they're trending in the right direction, the team. But obviously you're the future, or they don't draft you. That's their idea. What would it mean to you to bring a championship, or even turn the Lions or continue in the upward trajectory and be a part of a winning team for a town that's wanted it for so long?
It'll be, extremely special, especially just being able to do that at Tennessee and seeing how much it meant to the fan base and to the program, and the people in higher positions, the joy that it brought them as well. So, hopefully continuing to do that and bring their energy and, shine a positive light in people's lives is what I strive to do, on the daily. It would be special. And I can see us, trending in that direction, just being out there at practice and watching guys fly around and communicate at a high level on both sides of the ball. And not just that, but being playmakers. There's guys left and right that are just playmakers. That's amazing to see. So it'll definitely be something special for everyone.
Hendon, you know, I played with Dan Campbell in the pros, and he was one of my tight ends, and good teammate, the whole deal. Love Dan to death. What's your experience been like? Just kind of not only talking to him, but just watching how he coaches the team and interacts with everybody.
It's amazing. It reminds me a lot of Coach Heupel, just being able to communicate and, on and off the field, have a relationship with the guys, and wanting us, to go out there and build every day. We have a set plan for every day, in each stage. And he says it every day, in the team meeting, and we begin the day with how we want to practice and how we want to, think moving forward. To prepare us, to, like you said, go out here and win some playoff games and win a championship is what we're striving to do.
Hendon Hooker with us, KJM. Tell us more about PXG, Hendon.
Yes, sir. So I've been playing golf, for a very long time. I haven't played in a while, but then getting back on the course last year with some of my teammates. Really just kind of brought that love of the game back for me. My grandfather used to want us to play all the time. And, PXG, reached out to me and we collabed and they gave me a custom set of Gen 6 clubs, a full set, and the fitting was perfect. For so long I've been playing with clubs that are too small or, not having a full set, not wanting to hit the shots that I want to hit. So it's a blessing to be able to, partner with them and have such great clubs at my use now.
Yeah, that's good. Partnering with them, but also all that money you're making, you can go buy some clubs.
Hendon Hooker, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, but just because you got money, don't mean you got to spend it. You know that one.
Hendon, best of luck. I got my eye on you, man. I think you're going to have a great career, and best of luck in Detroit.
Man, don't try to steal my love.
Keyshawn, I already did. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.